The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both programs, men's and women's, in the Sweet 16, and you're right. You talk about blowing the moment to being able to use this as a launch pad as opposed to, you know, like a collapse. It really couldn't have been the worst. Couldn't have been worse timing.
Yeah, and that's, to me, you know, you strive. I think anybody who's ever played in sports doc will tell you that, you know, it's harder to stay on the mountaintop, but you got to get there first. You got to get there somehow, some way. And it felt like we had made such great strides from where we were. Last year was such a dismal year. And then, you know, to get to where we are right now with this, you know, with this group and where this team took us over the last 2 months, it just, I have no other feeling than just sort of the moment was pissed on. I don't know how else to, I know that's really articulate, but it just
No. But you look, dude, you're so unique in this because you...
All right, that is a conversation between Richard Doc Walker and Chris Nocke, the analyst, lead analyst for Maryland men's basketball here on the Team 980. Was in San Francisco and Seattle, of course, with the team. Was on with Doc yesterday on 980 and 106.7. And you just heard a little clip of the conversation. You can hear the whole interview at theteam980.com just or on the Odyssey app. You can go check it out from Doc's show yesterday. Chris Nocke said, and he's not like a bombastic person, the moment was pissed on, right? And that's kind of like what we're talking about, all of these issues, right? So I've said a couple of times, Kevin Willard was bitching about this, like what I'm kind of talking about.
He was also saying, though, just to make it clear, because I actually was producing that show, but he was saying that the kids made this big achievement getting the Sweet 16, and it's completely overshadowed by this circus that he caused.
Well yes, but the reason why the circus is created is because Willard is saying, look, in order to compete with Duke, in order to compete with Houston, in order to compete with Florida, I need X, Y, and Z, revenue share from football and other sports. I need more NIL. I need more alumni support. I need more administrative support. I need a new athletic director, AD, so on and so forth, right? So, yes, he's right, Nocke. The moment was pissed on. And while that might not be, like, again, something you want to say, you know, over and over again, because it's not a very kind way to say things, it's real. It's blunt. It's reality. Everything that Maryland did this year will simply only live on in the record books and in your memories. None of it means a damn thing moving forward because there is no Maryland basketball right now. The entire program has been demolished by the transfer portal, by graduation, Reese, by the NBA, Derek Queen, by Kevin Willard, by the AD leaving. I mean, the AD left for SMU. SMU and Maryland should not be on the same line in terms of job panache. But the AD, for whatever reason he had, Damon Evans, left for SMU. I'm sure they've got plenty of powerful boosters and alum and Dallas, Fort Worth, and all that stuff. Great. Maybe he knew he was, I don't know what his contract, whatever the reason he left. Doesn't matter. And that led Kevin Willard to leave. We all knew he was going to leave, or those of us that were paying attention. And that's fine. He has every right to leave. Every right to leave. We all know he did it the wrong way. And anybody trying to defend him, and I've heard my colleague Craig Hoffman, defend him, I would say ruthlessly, but defend him to no end and say, He's just doing what everybody else would do. He's, you know, everybody's looking out for themselves. And I'm paraphrasing. Yes, Kevin Willard has a right to look out for himself. As I said late last week, the only legitimate thing that Kevin Willard should have been saying before he threw the program under the bus and the university under an 18-wheeler, the only thing he should have been saying is once Damon Evans left, hey, guys, listen, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to coach this team every day. We're here to win games. I would love to know who my new boss is. That's a concerning thing for me. That's all he had to say. Instead, he took the time, again, to throw the program, the athletic department, and maybe a lot of it was fair. And the president and the people that make the powers that be. He chose to make a circus out of it. And again, that was on him. He didn't have to do that. He could have taken the Villanova job Friday, Saturday. Sure, people would have been surprised. People would have been salty. People would have been upset. But how could you blame him? If Villanova's got more resources and less of a revenue share issue and an AD, how could you blame him? Again, it wasn't that Kevin Willard went to Villanova. It's that he told, you want to call them lies? I'll call them mistruths all along. And he took the most important time for his team and everything that they worked for to make it about Kevin Willard. And less about basketball at Maryland. And less about the university. He took the time to put the onus on Kevin Willard. That's what he did. And then, again, late Thursday night. Oh, I don't know. I got to talk to my wife. I'm sure my agent's talking to somebody. Come on, man. Come on. Who do you think we are? Again, Kevin Willard has every right to go to Villanova. I hope he does well. I'm not mad at him for going to Villanova. I would probably go to Villanova too if I were him. What I am frustrated with, what I am salty with, is again, he made it a circus, a zoo, and he made it all about him. Under the guise of making it about the program. And certainly, again, they're all interconnected, right? If things were great at Maryland, maybe he doesn't go to Villanova. I got it. So some good could come out of this. But there is a way to do it. And then there's a way not to do it. And Kevin Willard, every step of the way, chose the way not to do it. So that's why people are upset. We'll see who the new coach is. Obviously, a lot of names have been rumored locally. Tony Skin, Dwayne Simpkins, Buzz Williams. There are other names that are out there. We will see what they do. I personally feel they need to either hire an AD and a head coach together at the same time where one approves the other, or they need to hire the AD first. You can't hire, in my opinion, a head coach first and then have a new boss come in. And what if that boss isn't enamored with the personality or the direction or the desires of the head coach that just got the job? What are we going to do then? Are we going to have another coach leave that you just hired? What do we do then? So I think it has to be in concert with each other, where everybody is on the same page. Hey, head coach, we're interested in you. Here's what we're planning on doing. You guys get together. You guys talk it out. You guys hash it out. Can we come? Do we have a marriage here? Do we not have a marriage? If not, we have to go a different way or whatever. We cannot hire a head coach or an AD that is not on the same page in terms of the direction of the franchise. I'm going to say the franchise because that's what it is. It's a professional sports team. The notion of college athletics is ridiculous. It's not, they represent a college, a university. It's professional sports. It's the Wild Wild West. Again, I want to be clear. If Kevin Willard would have left Saturday for Villanova, a day and a half after his team lost in the Sweet 16, I, of course, should be like, oh, man, that sucks. You know, I thought he was happy here. But I see why he took that job. There's multiple reasons why he would take that job. But the way he did it, to get what he wanted, and then even supposedly when he was offered what he wanted, he then still took the Villanova job. Now, the one thing that I have to say in his defense is he took the Villanova job, even though supposedly he got offered whatever he asked for and whatever he wanted, but he still doesn't have a boss, a direct boss. And for him, he says, wait a second. What if, again, they hire somebody that doesn't like me? I mean, I mentioned this last week. What if they hire somebody that doesn't want me, that I don't see eye to eye with? I'm going to be miserable still here and lose out on a golden opportunity to revive Villanova? Big East, closer to home, not replacing Jay Wright, basketball friendly, basketball primary. I mean, everything spelled out Villanova. And that's exactly how it happened, with the exception of Kevin Willard doing everything he could to play a game of chicken, to make it a circus. It's not about Kevin Willard leaving Maryland for Villanova. It's a better job. It's about Kevin Willard making it a circus, a zoo, at the most inopportune time, in every way possible. And for those that don't understand that, I'm sorry, you're not paying attention. You're not thinking with any level of common sense. Maybe that doesn't matter to you because everybody does it. Yeah, everybody does it. Doesn't make it right. You know, I guess what you would have wanted was for, like, Will Wade, who was at McNeese, who basically told everybody he was going to NC State before McNeese played and won. I guess maybe that's what you would have wanted. Hey, man, I'm going to Villanova as soon as we're done here. No, you didn't have to do that. Report comes out. Hey, Kevin Willard is the eye of Villanova, the apple of Villanova's eye. Okay. Hey, coach, there's a report out there that Villanova has targeted you. I have no comment on that. I'm only here to talk about the Maryland Terrapins. This is the team that I cover. Coach, this is the team I care about. You know, no comment. That's all he had to do. He also didn't have to, again, throw anyone and everyone in his path under an 18-wheeler. That's what people are mad at. Not that he necessarily went to Villanova. Villanova's a better job for Kevin Willard in college basketball. It is. It's a better job than the Maryland Terrapins. It is. Villanova won a couple of national championships. People forget that. Not too long ago, right? Chris Jenkins hit a game-winning shot at the buzzer. What was that, 2020, 2019, whatever it was? People forget Villanova's a damn good job. Got no problem with Kevin Willard thinking Villanova was a better spot for him. He's right. It's just everything that he did prior to that, during it, and overall was handled wrong. Terribly. Terribly. All right, let's get to Dontell in Frederick before we take a timeout, and then we'll probably move along quickly thereafter because I got a bunch of other things to get to. What's up, Dontell? How are you?
All right, Chris. All right, you redeemed yourself, man. You know how when I come on this radio, I always say that you and I basically think alike. All your analysis that you come up with, man, I'm normally right on point with you. And I called today because when you was talking about the Neil program, I was going to be against you. But with the Willard situation, once again, you're right on point. I mean, he was just on the Chien show last week saying he was staying.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do that. You can say you're finishing the year out. You know, you hear the coach right now. You don't want to get into that. Don't tell somebody you stand, right, and then this happens.
Well, to be fair, Dontell, he said, as of now, which was immediately a key tell for me. And we said that on the show that day. As of now. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love you. You know that. But you were going to disagree with me about the NIL stuff?
Yeah, because it's what you were saying. You was like, this is what you guys wanted. No, it's not what we wanted. We wanted the athletes to get paid.
Yes.
But see, when you're talking about the NIL money and the part of it, that and the transfer portal is two different things. The transfer portal shouldn't have anything to do with the NIL. And if you're getting paid the NIL money to play, you should also, something else should come with that, not just get paid. You should have to stay at least 2 years. You should have to have some kind of contract and not, where you're with the team, where you're not jumping around. So it really has, what you we're saying is we didn't want them to get paid. We want them to get paid, but we don't want the stuff that's going on with them jumping around this portal.
I understand what you're saying, that they're not exactly the same, but the combination of the two, because a lot of times players that are in the transfer portal are only going to the highest bidder, the highest seller, the highest, you know, paycheck that they can get. So that's why I'm kind of combining the two. But I appreciate you. I mean, it's a strong opinion, and I understand. Again, let me be clear. I'm not opposed to players getting paid. I am opposed to no structure. I am opposed to the wild, wild west. I am opposed to unilateral free agency with no rules and no restrictions. I am opposed to that for 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Sorry. They haven't, you know, you want to give me free agency in baseball and other sports? In the NFL, you got to play 4 years. 4 years. To become a free agent, unless your contract is terminated by your employer, then you can be, you know, a free agent before that. You don't just get to go from team to team. Same thing in baseball, it's 6 years. By the way, the Caps have made a major signing. We'll have details for you. J.P. Finley going to join us on Maryland and from the NFL owners meetings in moments on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, coming up, details on a big acquisition for the Washington Capitals. We'll fill you in on that later on. Joining us right now from Palm Beach at the NFL owners meetings is my guy, J.P. Finley. Just wrapped up a four-hour show with young Tobias Altizer on B. Mitch and Finley over on 106.7 The Fan. And J.P. kind enough to join us here now. Make sure you listen to him again, 106.7 The Fan, 10 to 2. And on the Odyssey app, and as well watch on NBC4. And, of course, Monumental Sports Network. Hello, J.P.
What up, Bruce? How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I am good, man.
Yeah, how's the weather down there? I saw Mike Tomlin was sweating profusely when he was on TV. Is it really stinky and humid down there?
It's warm, dude.
Yeah.
And so the radio guys, they built out, you know how the NFL rolls, they build out like whole cities for this stuff.
Yes.
So they built out like a pretty big media center space area that has good air conditioning. But the radio guys are subjected to just being outside in the parking lot. It's warm, dude.
It's shocking that the NFL would crap on radio.
You always take things personally. You're not even here.
I know.
But I appreciate your anger in my steed.
Yes, I'm worried about you. I mean, that's what this is all about.
It's
all
Florida.
Right. Before we get to what Adam Peters had to say, I wanted to start. You had a really well done rant. I guess it was what now Thursday morning when all indications were that Kevin Willard was leaving for Villanova. Kevin Willard has officially left for Villanova. I can't imagine your anger, frustration has subsided, but your reaction to Kevin Willard leaving for Villanova today is?
Dude, I've reacted enough. I'm done. I want to know. Here's what I can offer. I'm really excited about whoever the next coach is.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to a new AD. I look forward to turning the page. I don't think he's that good. I think this was like two dudes fist fighting over a overweight girl at the bar. Like, let's just. I'm
beer,
moving forward.
Beer
I'm
goggles, moving. Baby. Beer
yeah,
goggles.
I'm moving forward. Mike.
Yeah. All right. Do they have to hire an AD first, or do they have to hire a head coach first, or both simultaneously? How do you spin that?
I think the coach has to happen as soon as possible, because I think you're losing time in this transfer portal, and that's how these teams are built now.
Understood, but how do you hire a coach and then
who cares?
Hire
the
his boss.
Hires him, because those guys aren't actually the boss anyway. Like, I think.
What if they don't see eye to eye, JP? That sort of a problem, right?
That's a problem for future us, Chris.
I know.
I think college sports has changed so dramatically over the last. Like, I think it's been microwaved, and I don't think – like, I think the athletic director is the boss of the men's tennis coach or the women's softball coach. I think football and basketball are kind of making their own rules.
Yeah.
And then you got to figure out how you divide up the cash and all that. But
if that's true, and I don't dispute what you're saying or the concept of what you're saying, then what was Willard? You know, Willard shouldn't. If he's truly "quote unquote" the boss, right, or in control, then he shouldn't be as upset about the way things were at Maryland, so much so that he went to Villanova. Even though I think Villanova's a better job, but Villanova's a better job because
maybe
he doesn't have to contend
whiner.
With football.
Yeah.
Well, maybe,
dude. I can't wait for the new coach. I Willard was leaving all along.
Right.
So he complained about some stuff because he got to complain about some stuff on his way out.
Because he knew he was leaving,
He handled everything poorly, and it's over now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
The only acceptable way for me would have been if none of this leaked out, if he didn't say anything, if he just, you know, was asked about rumors, speculation. I'm here to coach Maryland. That's it. No comment. Blah, 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 blah. And then he just left Friday or Saturday. I think everybody would have been frustrated, but everybody would have kind of understood. And on top of that, again, no AD in place, whatever. Either way, one last one on that. And then the NFL. Who do you, as a Maryland guy, you care about this. Maybe not as much as Sheehan, but you care about this. Who do you want?
I care a lot. I've given up screaming about Willard because you're screaming into nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're screaming into the void, and there are good people that work over there that I don't want to be making their job more difficult. The people that have left, I don't think are good people, but that's fine. They're allowed to do whatever they want. Who do I want? I like the idea of this Luke Murray dude, the UConn assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dwayne Simpkins. You know, I think Chris Beard is an excellent coach. There's obviously he got arrested for some terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you handle that.
Terrible accusation.
The guy I wanted was Rick Pitino when they hired Willard.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, my God, you can't hire Rick Pitino. He won't be here for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the guy you wanted isn't here for the long haul either.
Yeah, good.
College
good
sports,
point.
Until something changes, is a straight-up year-to-year gang of mercenaries.
Yep.
So get me the best one of those. And, you know, if it's Simpkins, that'd be dope because you'd like to think maybe he'd coach you for 30 years. Steve Blake is tweeting about wanting to get in. Buzz Williams is fine. I've lost the energy. Like, what Kevin Willard really stole from me and Terps fans was we were all back in and excited,
mm-hmm.
and then he
just ripped it out.
Yeah, he just stole that during what should have been an awesome time. And that was all his choice.
Yeah.
Right?
The memories will live on forever. The memories will live on forever, to your point.
Even when I see the Derek Queen shot, as dope as it is, I'm still going to think about him.
Right. Well, but that's the problem. I mean, essentially, the memories will always be there, but the program was I mean, because they're going to lose, obviously, Queen, we know that, and Juju Reese to graduation, but they're going to pretty much lose everybody that was a part of that run. And this season, in almost all assurances, whether it be elsewhere or to Villanova or wherever, the point being is it's going to be a completely remodeled house, if you will. Maybe even a brand new house. All right, before I run out of time, and I know you're busy.
Like,
go ahead.
Every team, every year, every school is now a completely rebuilt house every year. So there's nothing that prevents them from being able to hit the ground running,
in my opinion. That's fair. Before I run out of time, Adam Peters spoke today. What was
you're the one that keeps asking me about the damn Maryland
questions? Because you're a Maryland guy.
I saved my screaming for my show.
Listen.
Or that we did an hour together when you tried to fire me. I did some screaming then, too.
That's true. Listen, I wanted you on because of Maryland and because of where you're at. I know you're staying at the Big Posh Resort. I understand.
On the other side of the Intercoastal.
You have lunch with Jerry Jones scheduled after this. Is that correct?
Happy hour. Jerry's more of a happy
hour
guy. Okay.
All right. Gotcha. So Adam Peters spoke this morning. What was your big kind of big picture takeaway? Anything juicy, anything interesting in your eyes?
I think the newsiest thing is that he said, we want to get a deal done with Terry. We've talked to them. I would get the vibe of if that was a, you know, if that is a mile-long journey to a contract, they're at the first tenth of a mile. But, you know, I think everybody is cognizant that Terry needs a rework deal and some guarantees and a raise, and I think it'll happen. That to me would be like the biggest news item. He talked about Debo, talked about Kinlaw. They are clearly way higher on Kinlaw than the Cognoscenti is. I don't know what to make of last year with the Jets. I think the Jets were just so broken that it's hard to get a good evaluation from a lot of those guys. Similarly to how I felt about the Eagles defenders, like with Sweat and Milton Williams, when they were coming available, I was like, man, I have a real tough time evaluating those two as individuals because that unit was just so damn good. It's almost like the opposite was the case with the Jets. I asked him specifically, you know, you lost Allen, you brought in a bunch of different pieces. How do you feel about your D-line? And I think he feels better about it than they did last year, honestly. And I think a huge part of that doesn't maybe – you know, we're culpable in this as well. I don't think we've discussed Johnny Newton enough and what they think he is and can be. In addition to Goldman. Roost, I don't know if you agree with this, but, like, I think they very much got different types of defensive linemen than they've had. Goldman, Wise, Kinlaw, like, they're all just very different body types, different positions. And I think that is in a real effort to build versatility and like different sub packages and stuff. They haven't had a guy like Goldman since Pot Roast.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's a really good point. And that leads me to this was, you know, I know they're not going to give away trade secrets. Is there any feeling on your end, any reason to believe that Kinlaw specifically will be used both inside and as much inside as he might be outside to A, bolster the edge, and B, again, to be able to rush in different packages? Because of guys like Goldman and obviously Johnny Newton and Deron Payne, who might be in his last year, and so on. Meaning not just as an interior defensive tackle.
Absolutely. I think now I don't know that they're considering him like an edge rusher per se. You know what I mean? But I think you'll absolutely see him on the edge in spots.
Right.
And I think they want to be able to move him all over the place. I mean, dude, like, Peter spoke really highly of him. He said, we're getting him on the way up. He's a monster. How big he is, whatever he wants to do. I think you'll see him move around. I do think if he can move around and Wise can kind of be an edge setter against the run, which I think is what they really want out of him, I think the player it helps the most is Luvu. I think it allows Luvu to do more and be a pass rusher more.
Yeah.
I don't know. it's hard to sit and be like, all right, well, you lost Allen and you brought these three, four guys in, depending, you know, how far down that list you want to go. But, like, they were pretty intentional with all of this. So, clearly, they think it's going to work. They think it's the right operation.
J.P. Finley from the NFL League meetings. We spoke about Maryland and, obviously, the mess there. Now the NFL. Adam Peters speaking. Dan Quinn tomorrow, correct?
Tomorrow morning for DQ.
Okay, so at the coach's breakfast. That's bright and early. When you look at this roster right now, as we approach the draft, obviously, and less than a month before the draft, clearly, again, edge, defensive end, I would think, is the number one priority, even though they've done a bunch of things, as you just alluded. What else jumps out at you as, okay, they have to walk away with this, say, in the first 2 days of the draft for me to feel good, meaning you, J.P. Finley, not necessarily them, because they might give you a different evaluation based on whatever. Just you.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. First 2 days, what they have to do. I mean, dude, the name of the football is explosive plays, right? And you add Debo, and he's an explosive player, but it's a unique type of explosion. You'd still like to see a vertical threat, and you lose Diami, and not that Terry isn't a vertical threat, but I mean like a true burner on the outside. Obviously, pass rush is paramount. I still kind of look at the linebacker position, and Wagner was fantastic, and I would expect that again. But at some point, you got to kind of plan on the long term there, right? Like, what else happens at linebacker?
I think I heard you and Toby talking about this this morning, or maybe it was she. I can't remember. I was switching back and forth. But, I mean, Jordan McGee, he's hurt a lot last year, right? But didn't he started one of the playoff games, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember if it was Tampa. He was out there, like,
he was injured. Like, yeah. They were super excited about him before the injury in camp. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not ruling that out. I wonder. I mean, as of now, they've just brought back the whole running back room.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you don't draft a back and then really increase that competition at camp.
I think that's a very legitimate. I mean, Eckler's a free agent and missed 5 games last year. Robinson obviously missed a bunch of games, wasn't right. He's a free agent to be, or one more year left. McNichols, 1 year left. They clearly don't love Chris Rodriguez. I think that might be the number one need overall. I could be wrong on that. Let me ask you one last thing, and then I'll spring you loose because I appreciate you. So he also talked, Peters did, about Laremy Tunsil, who I didn't realize this, but Tunsil it represents himself, much like Bobby Wagner. He said they have not had any contract talks, but that would, of course, keep, you know, confidential. Is that something that you expect to happen, say, before the season starts? Or is that a, hey, man, we've really got to see this guy with us and how he gels in Cliff Kingsbury's and Bobby Johnson's system. Like, we need to evaluate him in uniform in regular season games. Or do you expect that to be, you know, again, a somewhat of a priority, say, before the season?
So I did want to ask, I mean, I asked Adam specifically about Tunsil if there had been talks, because I was just kind of curious.
Yeah.
Maybe there had been, right? Like, and the Debo thing seemed like it wasn't going to happen. Then it happened.
Yeah. But
Debo was going to get 15 of that 17 regardless in a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Tunsil does have 10 guaranteed on his deal.
Yes,
so
he does.
It's not like he's playing fully without any guarantees. I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Peters is incredibly tight-lipped. And... you know, I think if you're Tunsil and you just got traded for the second time in a relatively young career, and you get to play with Jaden Daniels in a locker room that everybody loves, and you're not going to be asked for like a leadership role, which is apparently what he doesn't love, right? You get to just show up and go to work, and you've got guaranteed money on there. I think it's kind of tough. I mean, crazy things happen in the NFL. I think it'd be like kind of tough to kind of demand something.
Yep.
But if it starts well and goes well, I mean, what do we know from the NFL free agent market? Like, the sooner you can rework something, the better it is for all parties.
No, that's fair. Like, that's a fair point.
You know, right. The player gets paid. The team, it's only going to be cheaper today than it will be tomorrow in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, honestly. You know, the Debo deal ended up kind of helping their cap, especially for next year. Like, I think Debo's happy because he gets a sum of cash, but I think that probably was a little more advantageous to the Commanders because they can get out of that next year with, like, really no harm, no foul.
Yep. Yeah, because it wasn't an extension. It was just taking non-guaranteed money to guaranteed. I lied. One last quick one. Did he say anything about Brandon Coleman in terms of what they're thinking?
Did not, but also wasn't asked.
Okay.
The time with AP was relatively tight.
Okay.
And to his credit, the GMs aren't obligated to speak down here, just the coaches.
So, Quinn, you guys could ask Quinn for him to give you a non-answer tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like we asked Quinn and he gave us a non-answer.
Yeah, but that was before they made the Tunsil deal, right? Now things have changed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's an interesting subplot. I try not to get too caught up in the kumbaya, you know, like the camaraderie angle. But I am fascinated, and you and I both have coaching friends that have sworn at the gospel of DQ. And then I saw it with my own eyes last year. Like, he really brought that group together.
Mm-hmm.
And all he wants to do is credit the guys for bringing that together, which I understand. But it's a different group now, and you've added some veterans that they know and clearly trust. But, like, you add some veterans to a team that everybody expects to be a playoff team. Like, all of a sudden, it's a different vibe, and I'm fascinated to see DQ kind of manage it.
Yeah. Great stuff. I appreciate you. Go and do whatever it is that you're going to do. Check out on
TV.
NBC on 4 tonight. 4, there you go. There you go. And then back at it tomorrow at what? 10 a.m., right?
10 a.m.
I'll get your show.
Florida time.
10 to 2. 10 right. to 2. See how this works, JP?
I like it.
Love you, man. Appreciate you. Be safe. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. JP Finley from Palm Beach and the NFL owners meetings, filling us in on how he views the Maryland situation. And clearly he was kind of annoyed and frustrated about how it all played out. And then, of course, the Commanders with Adam Peters talking earlier today. Again, Dan Quinn tomorrow. We'll take a timeout right here on the Team 980. We'll get into the question about Laremy Tunsil, and as well Terry McLaurin, and some more. We haven't really talked a lot of Commanders in the last week and a half. We'll do so next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 10 minutes in front of the top of the hour, heading towards a final hour of power on this Monday afternoon. Again, thanks to JP Finley for joining us from the NFL owners meetings. Wanted to have him on dual purpose, obviously Maryland first up, and then the NFL owners meetings with Adam Peters speaking this morning. Dan Quinn, again, going to speak tomorrow morning. And you heard JP's comment. You know, only a short time with Adam Peters. He wasn't required to speak like the coaches are. They have like a coach's breakfast. So he wasn't required to speak. So they only had a few short moments. So I would assume that Dan Quinn will be asked whether he'll answer about the plans for Brandon Coleman, because I'm intrigued by that, kind of fascinated by that. One other thing that we discussed, obviously, in that is, again, the Tunsil situation. 2 years left to go on his deal, as JP alluded, $10 million guaranteed. So it is different than the Debo Samuel deal. We will see where that goes. My sense, I don't know this, my sense is they will not do a deal with Tunsil until at least midway through this year, maybe like towards the end of this year, if they're convinced that he's still a top shelf left tackle and that he fits into the culture. And quite honestly, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Totally fine with that. Same thing, you know, of course, moving forward for Marshawn Lattimore. They didn't do a deal immediately with him. He's got 2 years left. You know, I mean, they don't have to do it, right? So, and again, Tunsil was supposedly looking for a new contract in Houston, which is supposedly part of the reason why they got rid of him. He's got a base of nearly $21 million. Again, $10 million of that this year is guaranteed. He's got a base of nearly, well, the same, 21, just shy of 21 million next year, but none of that guaranteed. So you could do a couple of different things. One, you could extend the contract. Two, you could essentially do what Deebo Samuel did this year, which was he had $17.5 million coming to him. None of it was guaranteed. They guaranteed it, and the player's happy, gets the money. It's locked in, even though he was going to get the money anyway, and however all that breaks down. And again, you could do that as part of an extension. You could do that as a one-year thing. You could do that, say, in December of this year, guarantee a bunch of next year, meaning 2026, I don't know, 15 million of it, whatever. If you're convinced, okay, hey, we're throwing you an olive branch here. We're guaranteeing, you don't have to worry, you got the money coming to you, right? But we're not going to do a contract extension. Because by that point, then you're talking, unless you're ripping up 2026, which could, at that point, you're talking about Laremy Tunsil being 32, 33, depending on, excuse me, when you actually get the contract extension done. And essentially, 32 or maybe even 33 by the time the contract extension portion starts. Again, he could play until he's 36 or 37 at a fairly high level. No reason to think that he wouldn't. But if you also believe some of the stuff you hear, you know, where he's not, JP alluded, he didn't really want to be a leader, right? People have said he's not the hardest worker. I don't know if that's going to fly here. So hopefully he buys in. But that's even more reason why I think you got to wait on a guy like Tunsil. Same thing for Lattimore again. Now, Terry, you don't have to wait. Obviously, they know Terry. He had a career year last year. They know what he means off the field. They know what he means on the field. They know what he means to Jaden. They know what he means to the franchise, the city. We want to make Terry a Commander for a long time, Peter said. This was the number one priority that I identified at the start of the offseason. Nobody was really talking about this. Then all of a sudden, everybody started talking about it. I think I was first on this. Terry McLaurin needs to get a contract extension worth more than $30 million. And if you look at it, because of the Jamar Chase deal, because of the T. Higgins deal, Terry probably fits in right around $32-ish million a year. Some might say, hey, man, by the time that extension starts, he's 31. That's too old. You got to do it. They have no choice. None. No choice. You do not bleep around with Terry McLaurin at all, period. End of story. And one last thing from Adam Peters. Javon Kinlaw, quote, and this is from Nikki Javala's Twitter timeline, so I want to make sure I give her credit. But JP just talked about this, quote, Javon Kinlaw is a tone setter. He's explosive. He's physical. We think he's going to be a great commander. End quote. I hope so. Again, going back to that signing, I had less of an issue with Javon Kinlaw, the acquisition, more the issue with Javon Kinlaw, what they paid. That being said, hopefully they have a plan, as we discussed, inside, outside, edge setter as a run defensive end, also as a pass rusher. Again, think about how they used Deron Payne at times last year. I think maybe that's what they see and do with Javon Kinlaw. Now, I think all four of his sacks came from an interior position last year with the Jets. But again, different system, different scheme, different everything. Maybe that was part of the negotiation. Hey, man, we plan on using you as more of an end. You know, or certain packages. And maybe that got him juiced. Or maybe they had to pay more for that. I don't know. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. More on the NFL league meetings and then the Caps with a big splash. Coming up in hour number three on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.